We are here to frighten and disturb. Listen at your own discretion.
You must be either mad or insane to seek out this godforsaken place. But since you're here, I guess I can show you the Nest of Horrors. Don't fall.
Today's story has been pulled out of the nest by Abigail Slater, entitled The Diary of a Psychoaffective, narrated by Ken Zimane, Robin Regalado, and Britton Maston.
Monday, 4 a.m. Stirring lightly to the sound of a phone chiming, I scramble in the darkness for my mobile, which appeared not to be ringing. My husband, who had been snoring away next to me, leapt to his feet to answer a call. I rubbed the sleep out of my eyes, trying to wipe away that fever dream feeling, but instead just smeared yesterday's makeup across my face. My husband entered back into the room, climbed back into bed, and told me it was nothing to worry about, just a prank call. He caressed my back and encouraged me back to sleep. Tuesday, 7 a.m. I wake up to the sound of my alarm. In a dazed state, I roll over to snuggle up to my husband, who isn't there. I proceed to clamber out of bed to find the absence of my husband. With an odd twist in my stomach, I pop the kettle on to boil and proceed to gingerly climb into the shower. It begins to overflow, and I reach down to unclog the drain. Pulling out a large clump of long purple hair, I myself have short auburn hair. My husband is very much a silver fox. Bewildered, I dry myself, get dressed, and proceed to the home office in which I work. Tuesday, 12 p.m. The unmistakable sound of my partner's shitty old car, similar to that of an obese man climbing stairs, coughing and sputtering and thumping away, draws my attention from my desktop. I save my work and head downstairs to greet my husband. He pulls me in for a kiss and proceeds to pick me up and swing me around as I scream blue murder. He places me giggling back on my feet. He explains that his son, my stepson, had called him for a lift early that morning as he had got himself stranded after a one-night stand. However, as I draw back from him, I notice a long purple hair on the lapel of his jacket. I hold it in front of him to inspect and question where it came from. His phone begins to chime and he excuses himself before he can answer my question. 1 p.m. As I am fixing lunch for my husband and I gently bring up the purple hair in the drain. A veiled accusation on my part. My husband laughs, reminds me that I hardly ever leave the house, so if someone was bringing purple-haired ladies back to our home, it was much more likely to be me. He chuckled to himself and explained that the drain must have simply backed up. He was right. I feel incredibly guilty and stupid for bringing it up. 1:30 p.m. After my husband had checked his emails on my computer, I find all of the work that I had previously saved had been deleted, completely unretrievable. The search history had been cleared too, and I began to get suspicious. 7 p.m. My partner asked me to pick up some shopping for dinner. As I turn the keys in the ignition of my husband's old banger, praying that it doesn't spontaneously combust, I notice various fast food packets in the passenger seat footwell. My husband had a heart attack last year and has sworn to avoid this garbage. Fuming, I also notice, once again, a clump of long purple hair on the upholstery of the car. My heart is immediately beating in my throat, and I can feel the anger pumping through my veins like a shot of adrenaline. Storming back to the house, I confront my husband. He marches outside to inspect the car. When we return, the packets remain, but the clump of hair had vanished. He swears that neither the packets or hair are anything to do with him and acts hurt by the accusation. We fight for hours. Him insisting that nothing is going on, me insisting that he is full of shit. I exit the house, slamming the door behind me. I walk down the road with an uneasy feeling in my stomach. The rustling in the trees seem to follow my every move. As the nighttime draws the light from the sky and my shadow disappears, I begin to feel lost and unequivocally alone. A voice whispering my name over and over, goading me into the forest, telling me that there was the perfect tree for me to hang on. The windy descent into madness was a road I had traveled before. Scared of finally losing that ongoing battle with myself, I turned on my heel and ran home. At 10 p.m., I enter the house to find my husband, suitcase in hand. He tells me he loves me, but is planning on staying with his sister for a few days. He says my accusations were untrue and unfair. He suggests I talk to my therapist, as my bipolar disorder is messing with my head and messing with our relationship. This left a bitter taste in my mouth, and I screamed at him to get the fuck out then. So he did. The scariest part was that I knew he was right. 4 a.m. I wake up paralyzed with fear at the sound of somebody softly calling my name. A woman this time. I try to shake the voice out of my head, but it taunts me on repeat. Covered in sweat, heart pounding, I try to ring my husband. Voicemail. I drop my phone, gingerly step out of bed, following the sound of the soft chant. I know it's all in my head, but must inspect the house to calm my mind. I follow the voice to my office. A small cupboard is built into the alcove of the wall. The door is ajar. I can hear the voice calling me from inside. I'm certain. I rip the door open in a frenzy to find an empty space. I can still hear the voice and clamor inside the cupboard. The woman is berating me, calling me, telling me I am insane. I begin to cry hysterically as she laughs at me. I just want her to go away and begin to slam my head repeatedly against the wall of the cupboard. I feel blood pouring down my face. When suddenly the wall gives away. I lurch forward and fall onto gravel, cutting my hands in the process. I hear a shuffling in front of me as I lift my head from the rubble. I see 2 feet. The nails are long and unkempt, like talons, and the feet are twisted and deformed. I jolt back up to my knees and catch a glimpse of a creature, hunched and twisted, with long purple hair. It strikes my face, scratching my eye, and pushes me flat onto my back. It climbs over my legs until it stood above me, finally raising its head to meet me, eye to eye. It's a woman.
"You don't know who I am, do you?"
she whispers as she runs a long fingernail from my chin and along my jawbone. I try to speak, but she places her hand firmly over my mouth before I can utter a sound.
"I know you. Very well. 5 years ago, Jack began to speak about you. To his son. On the phone to his mother. Even in his sleep. Anna this, and Anna that."
She struck my face again and proceeded to wrap her fingers around my neck.
"I could hear it all night. Every fight. Every moan. Every moment of instability. All through these walls. I knew you weren't good enough. I knew you weren't the one for Jack. I knew I had to get rid of you."
She began to press her weight onto my neck and clench her fingers tightly. I began to panic and try to escape her clutch, but to no avail. She grabs my arm and twists it until I can feel the bone splinter under the pressure, tearing through my flesh. My scream of agony is muffled by her hand.
"You did this!"
she screams.
"If you had just left, I could have had him all to myself! You sent him away and you'll pay for that!"
She presses harder onto my neck. I begin to kick my legs, but she's sat firmly on my chest. I could feel my eyes begin to bulge out of my skull, my lungs burning, my body giving up. My limbs begin to go flaccid, and the bells that were previously ringing in my ears went silent. And I can see Jack's face in the light, and I can hear his voice calling my name. And I know I'm ready to go.
Anna. Anna, baby. It's me. I got you.
Then all went dark. 8 a.m. I wake to the cold, harsh clinical lights, white walls, and the smell of disinfectant. I look beside me to see Jack. I go to stand up, but he gently guides me back down.
Anna, baby, you're attached to the machines. You can't get up just yet.
I ask him what happened, and his voice cracked as he spoke.
I'm so sorry. I should have listened to you. I heard her calling you on the voicemail. I heard it too. You're not crazy, Anna. I'm not sure you ever were.
He sobs. I wish I was.
Consider reviewing us on iTunes and Stitcher, and following us on social media at Nest of Horrors. Thank you for listening.